Please be seated for a moment. Thank you, John, for that. I hope as you kind of sang that last song particularly, I think it was very pertinent as we come together. I don't know whether you're coming to this weekend thinking, you know, I'm going to have a great time abseiling or shooting archery or whatever it is, or I'm looking forward to seeing everyone. Or maybe you're coming saying, actually, there's plenty in my life that's not as God would want it to be. But his grace and his mercy through Jesus is sufficient. And I want to come to him and be empty-handed and say, God, come and bring what you need to bring in my life. I think it'd be good just to take a moment just to be still and just open up your hearts. And you might just want to raise your hands or open your hands slightly to, as an act of just saying to God, I want to receive from you this weekend. I want to receive from you. So let's just do that, just in the stillness, just for a moment. Lord, in our vulnerability, in our frailness, in our weakness, in our sin, in our mistakes, would you be gracious enough, Lord, to come and feed your children, that we might receive more of you. And Lord, as we get closer to you, that we might get closer to each other. Amen. Amen. Thanks, John, and the group. That was excellent. Thank you for that. I'm glad to say that Ruth and Ian are both here. It's great to see you. Ian just said he's shattered, so we're going to be gentle with him over the weekend. So if you see him kind of lying on the floor or just having a snooze here and there, just be kind to him, and that'd be great. What I wanted to do is get Ian and Ruth up the front. I was just wondering whether we could put three chairs up here, because I know you're so tired that... you're okay? No, I'm not. Is that okay? Come and join me. Give them a good welcome. This is a microphone that you'll have to. It is hot. I don't know why it's hot. Yeah. No, you'll be all right. You won't burn yourself. You will have to hold it to your mouths, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is Ian. This is Ruth. Ian and Ruth, you're married. And you, amazing, you work in the same place.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about where you work. Where have you come from today? What do you do?
Well, there's about seven questions there. Hi, everybody. we've been married 41 years this year. I was seven when we got married. Ruth was 34. And we have four sons, grown up sons now. And eight, because we just had another grandchild last week. So we have eight grandchildren and one in production in a few months' time. And we've been married for 41 years, but we haven't always worked together. But for the last two appointments that I've had, one as a pastor in Geneva, Ruth worked as our pastoral worker there. So that was interesting dynamic in a relationship to suddenly move from being a very happily married couple to actually working together. Put a bit of strain on the relationship. And now we teach at Moorlands College, and where Toby comes from. And
who knows, the rest of the church went, Moorlands. You see what you've done to us.
I'm sorry. And Moorlands is in Christchurch, and we've just come
from there.
I thought
you were going to say Moorlands is in crisis because of him.
No, not at all. It is in crisis, but not because of that. But we live in Christchurch. We actually live on campus. And at the moment, our campus is a building site because we, for a long time, have been planning various new builds, and it's all happened. Since Christmas, it's all kicked off. So literally, you open our front door and there's holes and digger trucks and cement lorries, and it's fun, isn't it? So we're glad to be out of it at the moment.
Ian, tell us a bit about what you do at Moorlands, and then we'll get Ruth to tell us about what
she did. I have two roles there. I'm director of leadership training, which means that I teach anything to do with leadership at undergraduate level and at postgraduate level, because we have a postgrad courses that run as well. So team leadership, church leadership, developing as a Christian leader, sort of moving on to the next phase, managing change, conflict, handling conflict, all the stuff that, you know, will move church life. So that's what I do. And preaching and communication. They've allowed me out this year to do preaching and communication, which is actually something that I love. So I'm actually doing something that I'm excited about. So teaching's fun. Teaching people like Toby and, you know, trying to keep them in order, that's a bit difficult. But he's a great lad, and he's part of a fantastic year group. Our third year group are really brilliant. They're the sort of people that when you're feeling a bit jaded and you walk in and spend a couple of hours with them, you come out feeling refreshed. So that tells you something about that group of guys. My other hat, which is the bit I don't enjoy so much, is more to do with management and meetings. Hands up if you like meetings. You must do. You're Baptist. Come on, put your hands up. Anyway, I don't believe in purgatory theologically, but I go to a lot of committee meetings that make me think that purgatory is happening. And so I'm vice principal in charge of strategic development. So that means lots of meetings. So that's what I do, and keep Ruth in order.
What do you do, Ruth?
Well, I work for 3 days at Morelands, Monday to Wednesday, and I look after the foundation year. Teach on it, but I also run the course. So that's people who are not able to go directly in to do the degree, but can come to do a foundation year. And if they get to a certain level, then can go on to do the degree. So I've been doing that for about 4.5 years now. And that's really great. We just have a smaller group of students. And that's just to see people who come in thinking that they, you know, are scared silly about opening a book or going into the library, and go out with a 2-1 degree is, for me, is just, you know, all it's worth it, really. Mm. So that's for 3 days. I also I'm a personal tutor for a tutor group for the placement-based first years. So actually, Toby had me when he started college, and he's finished with Ian in his third year. So it's coffee at before and coffee at the end.
Coffee at the end.
Yeah. So, yeah. And he survived. So I do the first years with placement base, and I also do a lot of one-to-one tutoring, especially with some of the female students. That's my 3 days, and then I teach second year on pastoral care, and yeah, so do quite a few bits and bobs. But then on my Thursday and Friday, I act as a childminder for 3 of my grandchildren.
Oh,
so Thursday and Friday is full on unpaid, but great. Great fun. So today I've been swimming. So
oh, nice.
That's been great. But it, yeah. That's
so you're all refreshed and he's shattered.
Well, I don't know about that. Don't know about that. But it's great. So that's my job. That's my year week.
So let me take you way, 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 way back. Yep. The first time I think I encountered Ian, I'm pretty certain of this. I think I've told you this. Was at an evangelistic campaign in Eastbourne.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In a marquee.
1984.
Yeah. 1984, so that's aging me a bit. That would have made me, well, oh, goodness knows, 17 or something like that. So, you must have been a young whippersnapper evangelist, travelling the country, making people laugh.
I was absolutely scared senseless, because how many of you remember David Watson? Remember David Watson, what an extraordinary gift to the church David was. And David had just contracted cancer. He was booked to do that mission for 2 weeks. And he couldn't do it. He had to pull out. So they asked Eric Delve and I if could Eric do a week? Could I do a week? So we were sort of like filling in. It's a bit like, you know, you've booked to listen to the Beatles and somebody from a local skiffle group rocks up. So you may remember it. I just remember being absolutely panic-stricken, thinking, Lord, what are we going to do? But it was a good mission.
It was good.
God blessed.
Yeah, God bless, and I remember being influenced by both speakers, so don't, you know. Yeah.
And Eric became an Anglican vicar.
He did, yes.
I wish I put money on
that. Never heard of
him
since.
No, he has. He's just retired, but I should have put money on that, because the last thing in the world you'd expect Eric Delve to be is an Anglican vicar, but
right. There we go. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that takes us back to 1984, but... Yeah. Were you a Baptist minister then? What were you?
Yes, I was. I was a Baptist minister then. What happened was I went to study at London School of Theology, as it now is, LBC. I was there.
Yes.
And didn't really think I was going to go into pastoral ministry. When I went there, I thought I was going to be an RE teacher. So I really was concerned about being able to communicate the truth about Jesus. Graduated from there, worked with a team of evangelists for 5 years, which was great. Really cut my teeth on schools work, going into universities, prisons, all kinds of stuff that you need to learn your trade, really, as a preacher. But then Ruth and I were based in Essex, and the church we were in grew, and they said, stop travelling around the country, come and join us. So I sort of became the associate minister and became a Baptist minister by default. Now, I have to say that because my dad was a Baptist pastor. He had two sons, no daughters, and my brother became a Baptist minister. So in a way, it was a bit cheesy. I don't really want to do this. I'd rather be a Mormon or something like that. But anyway, I ended up there because theologically, in terms of where I stand in terms of churchmanship, I would be a Baptist. So that's how I've done it. Then we served in Southend, in Essex.
Which church in
Southend? Well, Earls Hall Baptist in Hobley Thick Lane.
I didn't know that bit.
Yeah, and we were there. In fact, we went back for their 75th birthday just before Christmas, and they got this jolly photo. Do you hate it when people get photos out? They put them on the walls all around the church, and we're looking, thinking, we look about 12. You know, that horrible feeling that you get. Anyway, that was Earls Hall. Then we moved up to the Midlands because I was involved in setting up Salt Mine Trust with my friend Dave Pope. And so we were based in the Midlands for probably about 10 years because I helped get Salt Mine started, then worked with the Evangelical Alliance. And then God called us to Plymouth. We were there for 12 years in Devon. Great place. You're a Janner. We love Plymouth.
John is as well.
Well done. Have you heard the news, the amazing news about Clive Bernard from Andover Baptist? He's just accepted the call to Mutley Baptist.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He'll be going there in the summer.
Oh, right.
So we're chuffed about that. So Mutley was where we were for 12 years. And then where did we go? Then we went to Geneva and we passed an international church. And then Morland's invited us across. So we've moved about a bit. I did promise Ruth when I proposed to her. I said, I'll never have any money, but I promise you'll never be bored. And you've never been bored?
No.
No, she's never been bored.
Well, that's a lovely link because, Ruth, tell us a little bit about the story about how you met each other and got married and all that. Yeah.
We met at a youth camp. It was a youth camp in the Lake District called Castlerigg. And I went very, very young with a little bunch of people from my church, and Ian went with a bunch from him. But we were miles from God at the time. And I'd gone saying, this is it, really. If nothing happens while I'm at this youth camp, then that's it. I'm giving up on being a Christian because I'd had such a difficult teenage years. And Ian, unbeknown to me, had said exactly the same. And God met both of us individually while we were there. And then we met each other as well. And we thought at first that's going to make it very complicated. But actually, it was great because we were able to support each other. We knew fairly soon after starting going out that we were going to get married. And Ian told me, actually, when I was about just 16, which was a bit frightening, but it was true. It was what God was showing us, and that we would serve him in Christian ministry. And pretty much from when we both did our training, Ian at college, Bible college, me doing my nurse training, since then we have been involved in various ways of serving God. So yeah, it was climbing a mountain, the old man of Coniston, looking my worst, I should think. I was absolutely drowned with wet. It was horrible, wasn't it? Well, thank you. But yeah, it was the beginning of our journey together.
Great, great. Now, I'm sure there may be a question or two that folk may want to ask you, just to get to know you a little bit better. So
milk chocolate.
That's the answer. What is the question?
Milk chocolate.
So has anyone got a question that they'd like to ask and find out about Ian? Paul, shout it out and I'll repeat it if people got it. London Bible College or Morland? Which is the better one? Well, we know that.
No question, Morland's.
Oh, Ian.
Four of us on the staff were trained at LST, so that tells you something. But
I mean, I think Morland's is the B-side, isn't it, really, of London Bible College?
It's actually, to be fair, they're different colleges, very different. It's the products. What are we trying to do? We do applied theology, and I'm grateful to LST for what I did there, but it was mainly academic theology, and what we're about is applied, and I think that's where the church is at the moment, so I'm pleased to be there.
You're always stirring, aren't you? Any other questions? They're probably... Go and Joy.
I trained at the London and Mildmay Hospital. And then really I started off when I was qualified in theatres, operating theatres, and then did full circuit, really, because I did various generals, GB practice, all sorts of clinics and that sort of thing, but then came back to recovery ward when we moved to Southend, to Plymouth. Was working at Derriford Hospital there and worked on the children's ward, and then eventually got back into recovery and theatres, so did full circuit, really. And then when we went to Geneva, kind of an issue with the language. So I didn't actually work as a nurse there, and then when I came back, I let my registration go, so stopped nursing then. So now I'm a first aider at college, I'm not a nurse.
We'll give you another... Oh, go on in, Toby, yep.
So what I was interested about is just...
yeah.
how much ministry has changed, or how much have you seen
So Toby's asking about how has ministry changed over the years, because some of you may not have heard what he said.
In a sentence, people are expecting more and giving less. That would and I think a lot of pastors would say the same thing. The consumer culture has hit the church. So the demand is we want this, we want this, we want this, but actually giving less. Is that fair?
Michael
has been very patient.
Oh, Kim.
I was just wondering.
Sorry, Kim.
What the church was like in Geneva? How's it growing out there?
Well, the church we were a part of was just outside on the outskirts of Geneva in France. So we were actually working in a church in France, but it was an expat church. So we had about 60 nationalities. We can honestly say it was the hardest ministry time in the whole of our lives. Very tough. We learnt a lot, which we've begun to see now. It took quite a while, but it was very, very tough. And if we said that one of the things about the church here is the consumer thing, it was 10 times as bad in a place like that, really, because it was just part of life out there, skiing, church, and all the other things that go with it. But then one of the brilliant things that I actually look back, I worked as the pastoral coordinator there. One of the things I look back and say was fantastic was the amount of things you could learn from different cultures. And I really benefited from, you know, worshipping with people from Africa and Denmark and Europe and all over the world, America, and just seeing the way that they brought different aspects to worship, which was fantastic. So when you did communion, it was so multifaceted because people came from not just different church backgrounds, but different cultures as well. And that's brilliant.
And the church, you know, the bring and buy suppers. Unbelievable. Oh, can you imagine? Yeah. 60 nationalities.
Yeah.
You get it all. Yeah. Curry, oriented in one evening. That's very, you know, carnal.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else? John?
Yeah. What's it like to come and need a weekend
for a group of people? What a fantastic question to ask. Ruth just said, "Tell us. We'll tell you at the end." I'm used to doing it. In fact, in the course of a year, we probably do about 4 church weekends. We try and spread it around a bit, but we do about 4 in the course of a year. But a lot of our lives are travelling. So when we're not at college, we're travelling to different parts of the UK, different parts of the world. This time next week, we'll be going off to the Caribbean. To work. Someone has to do it. And we're speaking at the Cayman Islands, Keswick, of all places, for a week. And, you know, you have to just go in there. You trust God for what he's put on your heart. I think the exciting thing is, I always say to people, don't tell me much about what's happening. I mean, tell me where it is and what time it starts. But I don't want a full briefing on everything that's gone on, because you can then be truly open to God, to open scripture and just let's see what happens. And I like that. And I remember when I was a pastor, I used to love it when people came as visitors to the church and perhaps God brought through them something that he'd been saying to us already. And it was like an underlining, a reinforcement. And, of course, one of the big bonuses is you meet lots of lovely people. This weekend might be an exception. But you do, in lots of different places. And I enjoy that very much. But people, I had it happen to me this week, do you miss the pastorate? I tell you what, college is the pastorate. You are absolutely involved in people's lives, in the good things, the exciting things, and the tough things. We've had a tough week this week. Toby will know. One of our students who went on to the staff 2 years ago, last Saturday morning, died. Ruth and I got a call at 8 o'clock just to say, Rick's been rushed to hospital. He hadn't been well. Had a virus. And then we had a phone call before we left the house to say he's just died. 24 years of age. And it was a year ago this weekend that I spoke at his wedding in Tamworth. This is his first wedding anniversary. So this week we've been spending a lot of time with Helen, his widow, just helping her walk through the valley of the shadow. And that's pastoral work, isn't it? Mm. But what we would say is the pastoral work that we do is much more intense, because folk like Toby come to us and say, we're only here for 3 years, don't mess about, tell us the truth. We want to get on with this as best we can. So we love that. But weekends like this, truthfully, they're a privilege. So thanks for inviting us. And we hope you feel that at the end of the weekend.
Good question, Joe. There was one. Yeah, Di.
What's your views on women in church?
What are my views on women in church?
Just to say, the idea of this is really to get to know
Ruth
and Ian.
Being in church,
If you want a really heavy theological discussion, you can find time later.
I love women. Love women. I'm very supportive of women in leadership within the church. I didn't start off like that in ministry. And so I've been on a kind of a journey working it through. And the book that I'm working on at the moment is being co-written with a young lady who was one of our interns in Geneva, who's known God's call on her life into ministry. And the book is... She's basically writing me letters and I'm replying to her, struggling through, what do I do with this call that I've got, that I feel God's given me? What do I do with this sense of gifting that's come into my life that other people witness? Because I'm working in a church where there are lovely brothers and sisters who don't actually believe that I should be doing this. So we're just trying to explore that together. But, that sums me up, doesn't it?
Great. I've got a question for you. We'll start with Ruth. But you both can answer this question. What excites you when you get up in the morning, and what are the things that kind of make you buzz?
Grandchildren. Yeah, grandchildren is one of them, but let's be spiritual about this now.
You don't have to be spiritual.
Actually, do you know what? When I said about the foundation students, what really excites me, it's not just foundation. We see the students arrive in September, and there are some that you look at and you think, not sure how they're going to do, you know, after a few weeks. And when you actually see the way they grow, because we see them over a period of time, it blesses me. I mean, I get disappointed with some who I think never really make an effort and have chucked away the opportunity. But the thing that really blesses me is what we input into people's lives, and just to see them. In many ways, we feel like we're being mum and dad to a lot, not with Toby accepted, but
right, yeah, no,
he's not much younger than
you,
us.
Isn't he?
but a lot of it time, it is. And when you're looking after your own children, you have the hard times, but you see the joys, and when you see the growth, that's what really keeps me going. I love that.
Great.
I think for me it would be the same. I agree with that, the growth. But I love to hear people's stories, and there's a group that Ruth teaches, and she tries to get all of us on the teaching team in with this group in the course of a year. And I sort of come in, I do probably two sessions with them, don't I, on sharing their faith. And the first lecture, they all come into the lecture and they're expecting it's going to be a lecture, and I don't. I turn it around and get them all to tell their story of how they came to know Jesus. Because that's how, if you're going to share your faith, that's where you begin, isn't it? What's your story? And it's always the same every year. It starts off like a lecture, but it ends up being like church, because there's usually some tears and there's lots of prayers of thanksgiving and joy, and we have a little sort of worship time at the end. Because people, for many of them, they haven't heard the other one's story. And when you hear some of the stories of what God has done in people's lives, it just does me good to know that God's sovereign at work. Think of what, I won't mention her name, but one young lady who, just a few weeks ago, when she shared her story, we were all in floods of tears. And her story was, she left home, probably in her mid-teens, lost all contact with her family for about 7 years, was living on the streets, literally, nowhere to live at all, just living rough. addicted to alcohol, to heroin. And up in Bradford, one evening, they said, there's a church that will give you a hot meal. The bad news is you've got to listen to a sermon first. And she thought, well, I could do with a hot meal. So she went. But the guy who was speaking that night was someone who'd been living homeless as an addict. And he told her about Jesus. And she thought, I'm going to give this a go. And she did. And here she is, just transformed. When you see her in chapel, you just look in her eyes and you just know, here's someone who has really encountered Jesus, who has a heart for people. She said, I can never walk by someone sitting in a shop doorway without stopping and talking to them and telling them what Jesus can do. I sometimes, when I hear things like that, I feel like Moses' mum. You know, she ended up being paid for something she'd have done for nothing when she was asked to look after. And I feel, don't tell our treasurer, I feel like that, that I'd do my job for nothing, just for the privilege of hearing what God's done in people's lives. So we're excited to have, and at the moment we've got biggest number of students we've ever had. We've got 195 students, undergrad, 70 at postgrad. And we've just this autumn opened our branch in Birmingham, Moorlands Midlands. So we've got one in the southwest in Torquay, then Moorlands Midlands has opened in Birmingham. Why? Because it's a long way to get to Christchurch. Mm-hmm. And there are folk who live in the Midlands and in the north who find it easier to access our teaching there. So that's the fun.
Great. Okay. Tell us a little bit, last question
about
this
what
is,
I'm doing.
But a little bit about that. So our theme is playing your part.
Yep.
That's all we've told you.
Yep.
So we haven't got a clue what you're going to do with the hours that you've got before you.
Yeah.
But it might be an opportunity for you just to share a little bit about...
Well, when you wrote to us, Joth, and said playing your part, that got the two of us doing some thinking. We thought, okay, what does that mean? We were intrigued, very tempted to ask you what lay behind it. But we thought, no, we'll just go away and do our own sort of thinking and praying and preparing. And we've got three sessions. And it's dead easy to remember this. We came up with three themes that are wrapped up in three words. First word is learning. What does it mean to be a learning Christian? A learning church. Sometimes I hear about people say, oh, our church is a great teaching centre. But actually, as any educationist will tell you, it's not about teaching, it's about learning. Mm. What are people learning? So we're going to think about that. Then we're going to think in the second session tomorrow about growing. What does it mean to be growing in my faith, growing in my experience of God? Peter, in one of his letters, says, make every effort to add to your faith. Interesting phrase. What does he mean, add to your faith? We're going to think about growth. And then on Sunday morning, we're going to think about serving. That's the third word. Learning, growing, serving. Because that really brings us full circle to playing my part. Am I learning? Am I growing? And am I serving? Am I doing something with what God has been teaching me and putting into my life? Not quite sure yet exactly how the sessions are structured, but Ruth has been doing some thinking about some responses and creative stuff that comes out of it. It's not very frightening. It's interpretive dance. It's hiding yourself in a duvet cover and making pleasing shapes for Jesus. It's all the stuff that, you know, we do every
expect,
day.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, she's far too sensible for that. But often when we've had a time of receiving, it's good to know what to do with it, isn't it? In appropriate ways to be able to respond to God. So we've been working on that together. And hopefully it will be a weekend of listening to God through Scripture. You ask the question, what fires you? I love to just open the Bible and see what God's going to do. So that's what we'll be doing tomorrow. All the talks are going to be based on Scripture. So if you've got a Bible or it's on your iPad or your phone, bring it along with you, because that's going to be helpful as we look at the text.
Great. Does that whet your appetite?
Yes.
Yeah, great. Super. I think it'd be good for us to pray for Ian and Ruth as they come and minister for us. So would it be good if three or four would come and join with me? I know one or two will, but don't be shy. Thanks, Kay. Step forward a little bit. We're gather around. One or two more. Someone surprised me. Thanks. Yeah, sit down again. Someone else surprised me who's never come to the front before and prayed for someone. Come on. No. Come on in, Kim. You're going to have to come. Yeah.
If I have to.
Maybe by the end of the week. Great. Let's you lead us in prayer and we'll pass it along and Toby can close us off. Great. Let's pray together.
Father God, we just want to thank you for Ian and for Ruth, and we thank you, Lord, that you have spoken into their hearts and that you're going to be speaking through them this weekend. Lord, we know that what's going to be said and what's going to be received by us, Lord, is coming from you. Mm. Father, we pray that this weekend that you would just open our ears, our hearts and our minds to know you more. Lord, let us be receptive to what you have to say. And we just thank you and praise you. And Lord, we just pray that your peace and your rest would be upon them now. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity of being together as a church family, getting to know each other and getting to know Ian and Ruth. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them and inspire them by your Spirit and open our hearts to receive your word and to know the way forward. This is a real opportunity for us as a church to work together to serve you. Father, we pray for our young people too, that they would have a really good and spiritual time. Mm-hmm. And as they grow, Lord, we pray that you'd open their hearts, because we want them to learn as youngsters so that they too will grow and know you as their Lord and Saviour. We expect great things, Lord, this weekend, and we expect it in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen.
Father God, we just pray for a real outpouring of your Spirit this weekend. Lord, I pray that you would use Ruth and Ian to say what you want us to hear. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them as well as they're here. I pray, Lord, that they would feel part of our family, that they would be welcomed into it. Lord, I pray that all the things that have happened in the previous week, the difficult time they've had, Lord, I pray that you would now focus them on you and you would give them rest, you would give them joy, Lord, and that they would be really blessed by this weekend as they are here to teach us and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we know that so much of our lives is actually normal and routine and mundane even. But every now and then in life we have mountaintop situations, we have mountaintop experiences. And as we look at Scripture, we see your people, Lord, meeting with you on mountaintops. And I pray that this weekend could be just an experience for all of us, that it can be something that does bless Ian and Ruth themselves, but it's a changing time for us as a Christian community seeking to make an impact in our little part of the world, God, to change lives for you. So Lord, please bring us with open hearts, Lord, willing and ready to change and to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bless you. Thank you. Now I think we're finished for the evening session. Lynn will come and tell us what's happening next, because I haven't got a clue what's happening, so bless her, Lynn will. We gather here at about 9 o'clock tomorrow, so if you could make your way up here as close to that as possible, that would be great. Can I ask a request? When you arrive, would you like to sit further forward? Because you come and stand here and talk to people that are miles away, it's really difficult. It's lovely when people come closer. So it'd be nice. If you're early, come forward, and then those who come later can fill in the back, if you can. OK, if you can, if you're bold enough. If you really have to sit near the back, well, so be it. But that'd be great.